You're listening to Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Yeah, you know my answer. I've been driving around town taking pictures of the bedlam, the chaos at Popeyes. So if you're asking me, Popeyes or Chick-fil-A, bitch, I'm going to say Popeyes.
I agree. I'm a big Sweet Heat fan. It's a very underrated dipping sauce.
I'm also agile, and I've got my head on a swivel. And if there's any problems at one of the Popeyes, I'm ready. I'm going to run, but I'm ready. Yeah, it's getting a little dangerous out there. It's getting a little crazy.
I also don't think you'll be instigating anything either, like some people have been.
No. I'm there to get my... I love the sandwich. I'm there to get my sandwich in and out.
Did you try it? Did you get one, finally?
Well, come on. Do you think I'm going to talk Popeyes just once during the show? I got to come up on the 5 o'clock hour. Let's get into some legal issues. There's actually a legit legal issue that comes out of a fight at a Popeyes that I saw. There's been a couple of incidents. Xavier Pope is with us. He's going to serve as our legal analyst today on this Wednesday. What's up?
What's up, dudes? How's it going?
We're good. I mean, we're following some crazy stuff on social media, and I saw that you retweeted this weird just bevy of racial slurs. Some jackass is in a Popeyes just screaming N-bombs. He goes outside because he's challenging everybody. He goes outside, and they just kick his ass. I wonder, first of all, what's your reaction to it? And secondly, what sort of legal protection do the people inside the Popeyes have when they go outside of the Popeyes after having N-bombs screamed at them by some white dude? Like, legally, do they have a right to protect themselves? Is that a threatening situation?
First, guys, I have to just give props to the dedication of the people that listened to this guy drop all those N-bombs.
Yep.
And did not want to give up their place in line to get the Popeyes new chicken sandwich.
Exactly.
So listen, I've been waiting for this thing for 50 minutes. It's been gone for whatever amount of days, and I didn't get a chance to get it the first time around in the craze. I didn't get this chicken sandwich. I'm not getting on this line. I don't care how big of a jackass this guy is. So, first of all, props to those guys who did, hey, listen, they did not let his foolery get in the way of them getting their chicken sandwich.
Right.
The second thing is, hey, listen, if you're going to go into a neighborhood like that where it's all black people and be a complete racist douchebag, and then he didn't just say a bunch of N-bombs, he actually jumped in the face of another person and feigned punching them, then you should not be surprised if you're outside getting pummeled and then made to snivel and cry and say, I'm being made to say I'm sorry. I don't advocate violence in one way, shape, or form, but you shouldn't be surprised you got your ass kicked. The third thing is that I do believe that their Popeye's policies and procedures, you know, we talked about how they were overworked and understaffed. I think they still haven't fixed that problem necessarily from an organizational perspective, because it was such a long line, and that you didn't have employees or anyone in that establishment attempting to defuse the situation. They were just strictly focused on delivering the chicken sandwich to the waiting customers as fast as possible. So they got to shore that up too, because them not taking proper steps in order to secure the area from people fighting outside the establishment once something was bought inside the establishment, from an altercation that began inside of the establishment, potentially exposed them to liability from not only the guy who got his ass kicked, but also the people that were part of that as well.
Yeah. Xavier Pope is with us. Let's stick on the fast food topic here. I find this one fascinating. I'm not sure what workers' rights are, but this seems off to me. The CEO of McDonald's got fired after a coworker affair was discovered. It looks like he's now going to walk away with $70 million as a payout? Like, within the company. Like, there's nothing legally anyone can do to say, wait, this is wrong. I mean, when we're talking about pay inequity, you're going to let a guy who's fired for cause walk away $70 million richer?
First, guys, we did not include the $23 million in stock options he could exercise today. So really, it's about 90 plus.
Oh, my God.
So let's make that clear to the audience. The second thing is, this stinks to high heaven. Because we don't really know what this guy did. And so it's very vague in terms of this inappropriate sexual But then people get hooked up at jobs all the time. Not saying I'm not advocating for that, but people are in relationships that work with people all the time. And so there's something more inappropriate that happened other than the fact that there was the relationship wasn't allowed, per se. This is the CEO of McDonald's. And so I think that there's some details that we may not necessarily have heard yet, or we may not never, they may never hear, that could potentially implicate the organization itself, him, or make this a much bigger, much worse PR disaster than we're even thinking. Hey, we gave him this money, he's gone. Hey, let's move on. And I don't necessarily think that that's actually the case here, and it's worth a second look.
Let me give you a headline on another case, because I'm always curious on these creative defense cases. Headline: a Texas man shot and killed his wife. He says he was sleepwalking. Is this going to work?
Potentially it might work. The first day of law school, we learn about somnambulism and what's known as sleepwalking. And this first one of the three components of any potential legal of breaking the law is actus reus. And so if you take an involuntary action, that means you really didn't do it. So and there's reports to show that he was taking some sort of drugs, if it mixed with alcohol, could potentially render him unconscious. He was having issues, some other health conditions that could potentially, he could just fall asleep. So there may be some merit to this, and it's still worth exploring at trial, and he may get off for this.
Oh, my God. Shot her six times. Like, none of the shots woke him up, huh?
You think he'd wake up?
Yeah, I guess not one shot woke him up, which seems implausible, but it's not improbable.
Xavier Pope is with us here on Cofield and Company. All right, now we get to the real tough topics. Our producer Ari found this one. 63-year-old teacher charged because she was doinking a 17-year-old high school student. I wouldn't call her a GILF, but she's in that range. What happens here? You know, in a state like North Carolina, when the legal age is 16, how can the teacher actually be charged?
Well, because of the nature of the relationship, so it's not necessarily focused on the age, as opposed to teacher-student and what is allowed in terms of contractually, ethically, which is in her purview. So the law, as it stands, may have a certain standard, but then other types of relationships within the law may have a higher standard that must be met in order for it to be enforced. And that's pretty much what we saw there.
All right. Not that I'm in support of teachers doinking the students. I think it is inappropriate. They need to stop doing this. So.
That's not even like May, December. That's like December one year, and then like 3 years later is another December. Or May, or whatever they call it.
Right.
January? Like, what?
This guy's a great follow on Twitter. Give out your Twitter handle.
My Twitter handle is Xavier Pope. That's XAVIERPOPE.
All right. I found a couple of tweets that you reacted to that I think we need to hit on. One, I bring up that Bill Polian, Lamar Jackson is a wide receiver, not a quarterback drop. Pretty much every week when Lamar Jackson looks really good. It's one of the more embarrassing, scout grade, scout analysis. Listen, we know why it happened. Polian supposedly finally ate crow for saying that he should be a receiver. He said, I was wrong, but you didn't like kind of the way he said it, and we know what the roots are from this, right?
Yeah, he basically stated that the traditional quarterback, that's how he said he had. He made a mistake in looking at from that lens. And we all know what that lens is code for. Is basically a pocket passing white quarterback, as opposed to a mobile quarterback that needs to be developed and has an arm. But it's really important to us to understand these last couple of drafts, these last couple of years, I mean, they've been blown on guys who completely wind up being successful. Lamar Jackson getting drafted after four other white quarterbacks, after being the youngest Heisman Trophy winner ever when he won it as a sophomore. And then you had Mitchell Trubisky getting selected by the Bears. He's a borderline starting NFL quarterback, if that. And him being selected ahead of Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson will be continuously being reminded of all year based on this, the paltry performance we continue to see from the Chicago Bears quarterback position. They continue to be failed at since the beginning of time.
Right. Well, you know, the funny thing is, if he really was looking at all the quarterbacks through the traditional lens, then you just mentioned one of the guys, but there's two of them, Trubisky and Allen, Josh Allen, should have failed by the traditional standards because really they're both best when they run 8 or 10 times a game. Both guys can probably rush for 50 or 60 yards per game. We know Josh Allen can, but that's why the excuse that he was looking at the traditional quarterback is bullcrap. It clearly came down to one element.
Yeah,
Lamar Jackson skin color.
Yeah, I think it's crap. And we know that in Chicago, the name like Iski just seemed like a more attractive pick here than going for a guy like Watson or Mahomes. And that's just unfortunate. Mm-hmm. But the franchise is suffering as a result, as we're seeing right now.
I can tell you next year, the more attractive name for me in Chicago, and he's basically a very rich man's Mitch Trubisky, would be Teddy Bridgewater. But I don't know if they're going to do that. We'll see what they do with Trubisky. Last one. This is interesting. I hadn't seen this developing, and I read the story, and there are two sides to the story. But off of Election Day, AP tweeting, KC voters overwhelmingly approve removal of Dr. Martin Luther King's name from a historic city boulevard. The vote was 70% in favor of removing MLK Jr.'s name.
Yeah, I a lot of the residents that I've been responding to me is saying that the street name was changed and it was changed illegally and whatever excuse they want to come up with. I've been to Kansas City one time, had some great barbecue, but that's not an incentive for me to return if the city is going to go and go backwards. And I think it's emblematic of this time and that showing that something like Martin Luther King Boulevard is something that's divisive in this country. It's pretty disgusting, and we need to really re-examine ourselves as a society in terms of what are we allowing, the conversations that we are engaging in, and how is that moving toward a progress of a more pluralistic society right now. And I think we need to be honest with some inconvenient truths about that. Is it in the sports world, outside the sports world?
Are you doing a weekly podcast yet?
We are working on, we had a podcast before to suit up, and now we're working towards the visual version of that. We're in development.
Good.
That will be in television format, and we are doing that right now.
All right. We'll get it together soon. We'll pump that. Very good spot. We appreciate it. Thanks, man.
Thanks, y'all. Always.
There you go. Xavier Pope. Yeah, I saw that. It was a little complicated. There was a Kansas City street in one of their highly urban areas that was renamed. And the folks were mad that the old name had historic value. So they put up for vote. 70-30. Name goes down.
Surprised it's that lopsided.
Are you? I think that was Mr. Pope's point. Yeah. Is that it's not that surprising. What do you think about Polian?
I mean, you guys hit it on the head. We know exactly what he was doing.
I was judging things traditionally. Well, then, to my point, Josh Allen, I mean, I don't know. From the get-go, in that draft, he's Vince Young.
Yep.
And Mitch Trubisky, it's risky, but the only way Mitch Trubisky really works is to also use his legs.
Yep.
And his rookie season, I think he was up near like 450 yards rushing. He needs to have that threat on the edge. He's not a pocket quarterback.
You move the pocket with him, you get him mobile, it's rollouts, it's things like that. You can even go back let's go back to the 2012 draft. You know the best quarterback by far out of that class is? It's Russell Wilson, because Andrew Luck, Robert Griffin III aren't playing. Ryan Tannehill's now a backup who's taken over. We've seen this now over the last few years. It doesn't matter. These traditional quarterbacks, as they call them, they're not exactly what they think they are.
Finley Toyota in the Valley Auto Mall has the largest Toyota service facility in Nevada.
The Clippers are the best team I've seen. The Lakers are the second best team I've seen. You can schedule the championship parade at the Staples Center. You can put up the orange cones on Figueroa Street. You just have to figure out, will the bus be Clipper Blue or Laker Gold? My guess, it's Clipper Blue.
Now, back to Cofield and Company in the Finley Toyota Studio.
There you go, Colin, rodding up over LA basketball. Not sure I'm ready to fully rot up. I'm excited about the Clippers. I got some issues with the Lakers. We'll get to those issues in the 5 o'clock hour. John Von Tobel's in.
Their schedule's just been so strong.
Yeah, well, that should be taken under consideration. All right, halfway point of the show, let's get to some breaking notes. One, our boy Mark Seidel used to be the boss here. He's a big North Carolina fan. Trolling a little bit? He takes a picture of Greg Anthony at the North Carolina game, watching his son Cole Anthony. Remember Greg Anthony, at some point last year, was mad that UNLV wasn't recruiting Cole Anthony, which he wasn't coming here. want your ass kicked, or your ass kicked, kissed when he wasn't coming here. So he landed in North Carolina. Seidel tweets out a picture of former UNLV guard, Las Vegas, Greg Anthony, decked out in Carolina blue. He's got the, what is that, Jumpman? Pullover on, and a North Carolina hat. Are we mad? I just retweeted and said typical. I don't even know what I meant by that.
From like a fan UNLV supporter perspective?
Are you mad?
No. Why would you be? It's his kid. Do you get mad and ask the question because he's a member of the media? Is he allowed to do this?
Well, that line. Come on, let's not even get into that. We know that's been blown to bits. I'm not sure the jockocracy, any of that media objectivity stuff applies.
I also think it's different being an analyst as opposed to an actual journalist.
Yeah. It's his son.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would go all decked out
in
North Carolina stuff.
You know, when you have your first child, Steve, I don't even know if this is his first child, right? I don't know how many children he has, but when you have a child, that love is different, Steve. And I think you would. Well, you would take off that Tecate hat and you would wear a Rutgers hat for your son.
Right. I'm violating my my hometown beer, I guess, by wearing a Tecate hat.
Yeah.
No, but you don't apply either because you didn't play anywhere. It's not like you have some legacy of being one of the all-time great players at an all-time great college football or basketball program.
No. I had a really good game against Clark High School.
Okay. So do you have some mortal enemy from high school? Would your son cross you if he went to that high school and then you would respond by then going anti-Gorman?
I don't know if I should say this on the air. I think I'd be angrier if my son went to Gorman.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You've already made that decision?
Yeah.
What if he wants to go?
Then you better
What if he's some squatty defensive lineman prospect who can, you know. I mean, I'm looking at, you know, how tall is the wife?
Oh, she's like 5'1".
And she's little, too.
Yeah.
So there's no shot. He's not going to be a defensive tackle.
No.
That's what I would hope for, because...
Well, I mean, she has a lot of height in her family, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so do I. So, possible.
You need the weight, though. I'd like to see James B turn out to be 5'11 and maybe like 305. A little chubby. I've seen the arms.
That'd be good. Oh, he's slimming down because obviously, because he's
moving
around. No.
Defensive tackle.
Oh, that's right. All he eats is pasta.
Exactly.
Yeah, we're just shoving macaroni and cheese in.
You feed him ravioli all the time. That'll get him to 305 by the time he's a junior in high school.
The new one is turkey bolognese.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Which he just,
all we do is feed him pasta. I love
just
it.
Destroys it. But I would be mad because then, you know, I have to pay the bill. So, you know, if he wants to go to Gorman, nothing wrong with the school itself, but hit up Grandpa because it's not coming out of these coffers.
Well, there's a lot we can get into with this whole Von Tobel fortune thing. I'm still lost on it. Still lost after the Von Tobel tools. I don't know what's going on. You got a school and a park named after you. It's weird. We were just talking about Mitchell Trubisky, right?
Yes.
Being judged by an incorrect lens, we'll say that. This really irks me. And if I'm a Bears fan, I'm pissed. Because we already had Matt Nagy. We already had him 2 weeks ago say, you know, we're going to not worry about what the media is saying. And then he scoffed at the media. Like, he's turned it into, like, hey, media people are the enemy. Let's not let them distract us. Headline. Mitch Trubisky wants TVs turned off at Bears facility to eliminate the negativity. So now his players are going down this path. You know what a good organization does when it comes to media? They don't care.
Yep.
They don't pay attention.
My first thought was, why are the TVs on those kind of channels anyway? Like, what do you need that for?
Such an immature organization now. From the GM to the coach to the quarterback.
It shows that it's clearly getting under your skin, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's I think, the big part of this is, like, yes, we understand that you're hearing it, but there's hearing it and taking it in, and there's hearing it and just let it roll off your back. This is now getting to them. And I actually thought it was weird, too. Like, go back to the Bears game, the Chargers game, where Nagy before does the whole thing, oh, I'm not an idiot, and I know we need to run the ball, and, like, almost to a point to prove the media wrong, like, he ran it 36 times in that game. Like, stop. You run your plan, and I get it. You don't want to run it just 7 times like you did the week before, but if you're running it that much to prove a point, relax.
Also breaking in the last 90 minutes or so. This is a bad break. This is a devastating break.
Uh-oh.
I feel I've gone to the dark side, the Adam Hill side with this tanking stuff. But I'm just trying to be realistic with the Jets. I don't care. Just lose.
Mm-hmm.
Just lose. I want you to develop Sam Darnold. Like, losing on purpose is not cool. Everyone's got to play hard. But there's no benefit to getting four wins versus one. And I would like Chase Young, the defensive lineman from Ohio State. Or what I'd like is to be in the one hole and have some idiot trade up to get one of the quarterbacks and give me a future one. I drop down to two or three. Still get Chase Young. This is an awful break. Our buddy Chris Russell, the Fan in D.C., reports Dwayne Haskins reportedly chosen as a Redskins starter for the Jets game on November 17th.
It's a takeoff.
It is a takeoff. You know,
like, this is a massive game. We were talking, Humans and I were talking about this the other day, Matt Humans. I want this flexed into Sunday Night Football. Like, this game,
we want all the we don't want important game, like important playoff implication games. We just want all tanking games on Sunday Night Football.
100%. This game, the next Jets Dolphins game, or did they already play twice?
Now they got a second one. We were hoping Week 14 you'd have winless Miami against winless Cincy, but the Jets did what they were supposed to do. They lost, so now we can't flex that one to Sunday Night Football.
No, that's still massive because if they still have one loss,
ooh, okay,
right? Like, then you're sitting at staring at Cincy with no wins, and you could say, you know what, this is massive. This could decide who's going to take this top spot. Washington screwed themselves by beating the Dolphins a couple weeks ago.
What are you doing? Set goals, deliver on goals.
Come on.
This is up your alley. You can hear John Von Tobel Monday to Friday, even Sundays, on VSiN on satellite, or you can hear him on 920 The Game, our sister station, 10 o'clock Monday to Friday. Did you guys discuss the election results in Colorado and the implications of Colorado now?
No, we were on the air last night. It was still going on.
Yeah, it's... It looks like, unless there's some change, it's going to pass. Sports betting in Colorado, margin of only 20,000 votes in out of 1.3 million ballots cast. So if this holds, Colorado will have sports betting, and predictions are by 2020. So what's that? A couple months away, right?
Mm-hmm.
I have a calendar. We could have 19 states with legal sports wagering.
Yep.
I wonder how big it's going to be in Colorado.
I think they have a lot of major sports franchises. I think it'd be pretty big. You also have pretty good college programs in there. Like, I think it would be pretty successful. And they have 33 casinos, if I remember the figure correctly. All 33.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, can apply.
Excellent. So, we'll have to get Candy on this, because Candy's really good on this the legalization stuff. Because my next question is Colorado. Well, you know what? They got weed done pretty quickly, didn't they?
Yep.
Is Colorado a red tape state where, hey, it passed, but now it's going to take freaking 2 years to get it done? Or do we see legalized sports gambling by, like, the middle of next year?
Yeah. I think you could probably get it done quick. They got the weed done, really. But everybody likes their weed up there, so.
But there are states that have been a nightmare when it comes to the weed legalization. My home state, New Jersey, voters said, you know what, let's go.
Yep.
Let's go. Still not done. Like, and not in the foreseeable future.
Mm-hmm.
The hell with the people's will.
Yep. How long did it take to get off the ground here? 6 months? After the election?
We were, November, obviously it passes. Yeah. It was good to go by July.
Okay, yeah.
But they, you know, I was going to use the word revolutionary. It's not the right word, but like, we were, progressive's a good word, but we were also super organized in trying to work out as many of the kinks with medical so that the plan was in place. Now, the complaint would be that maybe all the money isn't being delivered to where it's supposed to be delivered, which was the schools, but there's also another discussion to be had there with the schools and managing all the money they get. They haven't exactly done a swift job of improving our school system with the money they do get to this point. On the way back, we got to get into, you have another millennial story?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. Now we've got a new group, a new smeared group. I'm approaching that group pretty soon. I can never be in that group, but age-wise, I could be. Man, these guys are spitting mad. And John Murray, Westgate, is going to join us as we get into... You know what we're going to ask John? We're going to ask him about that LSU-Alabama game and if that 6.5 number actually does fully include a health... Well, it cannot be healthy, but Tua on the field.
The crew over at Finley Toyota speak Spanish, Thai, and even Persian. In fact, they speak 14 different languages. Come in and talk the universal language of big savings today. to Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
JVT is here. It's Cofield, 10 minutes away from checking in at Superbook USA, Westgate, John Murray. But I want to give something away. I want to give something away. Let's do it.
Money?
Song gets me fired up. Hold on. I'll do something that I don't think either one of you are going to even understand. Ready? Fuck the hat. Don't say it. All right. Hats on backwards. That's all I'm going to say. So, this one's a little convoluted, this question, right? But we're going to give away two tickets. Check that. Two pairs of two tickets to see Asia. Got the 52 Friday series going down to the Golden Nugget. Asia featuring John Payne on Friday, 8 o'clock start, Golden Nugget. They've got all these great bands every Friday, and then a big December with a bunch of country groups coming into town. But we've got multiple sets of tickets to see Asia. But you have to be able to answer this, and it is a convoluted question. So listen, that song is Winner Takes It All. Right? It's called Winner Takes It All. I don't know why we turned down the music. Asia's lead singer, John Wetton, sang that song for a 1987 movie. But then he got boned.
Nice.
And they chose someone else to sing it. But it was his freaking song. Sammy Hagar was the version you heard. What's the movie? I know it's very convoluted, but the Asia lead singer sang the song for what movie? It made the movie, but with another singer. It's a 1987 movie. If you have the answer, you get two tickets to see Asia at the Golden Nugget. 364-1100, 364-1100. Ari has been instructed, if you ask what the question is, you get hung up on. I'll repeat the question again. Winner takes it all. Asia lead singer did it. Then he got hosed. Sammy Hagar was chosen to do it instead. The question is, what 1987 movie was Winner Takes It All in? Okay? John, any idea? When were you born?
1990.
Holy crap. This song's older than you!
Was it The 40-Year-Old Virgin?
That's a good guess. But that movie was out way after this one. Way after this one.
It was also a different Asia song.
You're really taking a stance of, I'm going to say, hatred and exclusion. And I don't know that I like it. Okay? Every week when John Montobel comes in here on Cofield & Company, he sends me something involving millennials versus the old folks. And really, your target now is, or are, the boomers, the baby boomers. Because they've been getting all over millennials, right?
That's right. Boomers. And they are also massive hypocrites. This is what I love. So we've started to see this.
Here we go.
We're starting to see this trend now that has kind of been brought up through social media and whatnot. It is the response of, okay, boomer, which is just telling, you know, feeble older people, like, all right, like, enough.
Okay, first of all, not all baby boomers are feeble, but the age group is 55 to 74.
Yes, and they have been the group that has slandered millennials for a very long time. So we start with this, which has kind of taken over. Apparently there was a column, or excuse me, a radio host, I should say, Bob Lonsberry,
yep,
who said the word boomer is the, quote, N-word of ageism. I will go back to one of the very solid comedy bits that I've heard in John Mulaney. If you can't say the word, that's the worst word, okay? So boomer is not the N-word of ageism.
Have some balls, Bob Lonsberry, big-time radio host in northern New York. He said, boomer is the N-word of ageism. Being hip and flip does not make bigotry. Okay. Are boomers really experiencing bigotry? He also says, nor is a derisive epithet. A derisive epithet, that's... okay. Nor is a derisive epithet acceptable because it is new. I guess boomer is new.
It's not.
Just shortened from baby boomer.
Yep. And here's the thing, too. So I use the word hypocritical. I would say that the word millennial actually has a negative connotation, right? Because you hear the word, they use the word millennial all the time to describe this generation. Millennials are lazy. Millennials are always glued to their phones. They've used millennial, I will say they, like the boomers and whatnot, the people who criticize the generation. Millennial is almost a negative word at this point. You've tried to do it.
Yeah.
You've tried to make it a negative word yourself.
I have never heard, and maybe there's some jabroni out there, I've never heard a millennial, and you guys are what, in the 24 to like 37 age range, I've never heard a millennial say, that's equivalent to an N-bomb.
It's not.
Because they're not stupid and flippant.
Exactly.
Nor are they trolling. My guess is that Radio Bob in Northern New York is trolling here. Stop.
I also love the, you don't like getting lumped up into just one word, right? Yeah. You don't like the blanket getting thrown over the entire generation.
Sucks!
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
Doesn't feel great, does it?
It's been quite the wake-up call the last 3 years.
Yep.
Groups that never felt like they were slighted against. Now that people will go after them, they're like, whoa, this doesn't feel good.
Now that the millennials...
Exactly.
Yep. The millennials are slowly assassinating everything that you love, from power lunches to the rise of avocado toast.
Oh, what happened to the power lunch? Well, last week we had a story with... Millennials were blamed for killing the power lunch. If you don't know what a power lunch is, it's basically folks doing deals over a two-hour lunch and spending lots of money and just taking a major break in the middle of the day.
Yep.
Because we all, we can all do that. We just don't want to.
Millennials had the audacity to kill it. Steve Quozo, I believe, is the how you pronounce the name. Did I say that correctly?
I'm going to go Quazo.
Quazo, okay.
Yes, similar to Gary Quazo, who used to play in the NFL.
That's a good point.
Was a local dentist when I went to high school with this kid.
Anyway, so Steve Quazo came back because...
Allegedly. Sorry.
He was getting destroyed for his power lunch piece that he had wrote.
Right.
So he wrote another piece in the New York Post. Headline, Millennials' Extreme Hatred for Baby Boomers is Totally Unjustified.
Yeah! I love this. I'm not involved. These are the best situations when I can stir the pot and watch two groups battle.
This is best line out of the story. Millennials, and to some extent, their Gen X and Gen Z brethren, hate their elders with the ferocity never before seen in our culture. Stop.
One group hates another with a ferocity that we've never seen in our culture.
I feel like we're missing a couple things.
We'll go to break. We'll reset. John Murray from Superbook USA is on the way. Big NBA night. We're getting ready to watch. Well, are we really getting ready to watch the Warriors? Warriors and the Rockets. And can't wait to watch Kawhi tonight.
Hit up Cofield and Company on Facebook, like ESPN Las Vegas. It's Cofield and Company's Eye on Sports Gambling.
I'm going to kill your bookmaker. I'm going to rip his throat out. I will step on his throat until the man chokes. Let me tell you how. Winners, 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 winners. Free, 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 free.
All right, we go behind the counter. We're not going to rip this guy's throat out. He has to make a living. John Montobel's here. It's Cofield. John Murray, Superbook USA. Hey, John.
Good cast today. You and Johnny Montobel, that's strong.
Very strong. We bring in JVT for the expertise. John, I want you to, John Montobel, I want you to run your Kawhi take. Because last week, I know you flipped out that we didn't find out until too late for overnights that Kawhi was going
to
be out.
Yeah, so last week, John, and just refresh the memories of those who were listening as well. Last week, there was the back-to-back in which Kawhi did not play in the televised game against the Jazz. Wasn't announced until like 4 or 5 hours before the game that he wasn't going to play. And you guys had hung at Utah -1.5, got to like Utah -6 because of the news finally breaks out. And there was, I think, rightfully so, some backlash because it sounded like the Clippers got it approved days in advance. And so now we have the situation today in which he is not going to play against the Milwaukee Bucks. And it was reported yesterday. And again, it is being said that they got this approved days in advance. The NBA continues to shirk its rules with the starting lineup rule or the fact that you can't bench guys for nationally televised games. And from an integrity standpoint, as I like to bring up, John, like, they have some real issues because the injury/rest/load management thing has been hovering over this league for the last 2 or 3 years. You had LeBron in the playoffs, Damian Lillard. Like, they have to be more upfront with this kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, there's just nothing we can do about it. I mean, we're kind of at the mercy of these NBA teams ourselves, and it leads to, like, these crappy primetime games. Like, tonight you've got Golden State Houston, and Golden State's entire team is out, and then the other game, Kawhi Leonard's just not playing because he doesn't feel like it. So it just leads to bad televised NBA games, and it probably leads to people shifting their attention to college basketball.
John, what did you end up doing with this game? Because I know the Clippers were about a one-point favorite. Did you guys originally put that up thinking Kawhi was going to play, or was that a tentative number, maybe thinking he wasn't?
I mean, you I don't know that you'd ever expect him to not play unless you had reason to not think he would. We decided, like, we were going to do props on that game, and we just scrapped the whole game in terms of prop betting, and then right now we got Milwaukee -6. When you have a player of Kawhi's magnitude, it affects every player's props. Like, the players on both teams are affected if a guy like that doesn't play. So we just closed the whole thing.
John Murray, Superbook USA. All right, we had a question earlier from a guest who was asking about the way you guys set the line on Bama and LSU. It's 6.5. Is that with Tua in for Alabama?
Yeah. Yeah, it's expecting Tua to play, maybe be a little bit less than 100%, but certainly we expect Tua to give it a go on Saturday. I know that Saban's being coy and saying he's a game-time decision, but we don't believe that, and we think he's going to play.
All right. How are people playing? Sharps on which side?
Oh, they're on the under. The under, the total's gone from 65 down to 63. We had a sharp guy went under 64 this morning right after I got in. There's been a little bit of money in there on LSU, but nothing that I would really label wise guy action either way on the side so far.
What would you do? How would you play the game?
What would I do? I mean, I made the game 7, so I don't know that I could really weigh in on a game where if I made it 7 and the game 6.5. I don't know. I mean, I don't really like the underplay we're seeing. I mean, I think these two offenses are so different this year, but I'm not going to argue with these guys that made those bets. They're pretty sharp guys. A lot smarter than me, Steve.
I have to work
for a living.
No. I like leaning on you guys because you guys know what you're talking about. I thought it was interesting yesterday. I heard folks behind the counter on one side, some players on the other with that Kansas-Duke game because it moves so much. What's your advice for people on college basketball? Is, like, on big games like that, are there value spots or is it just too freaking early until you actually, you know, get a chance to watch guys play?
The one thing I will say is be careful, you know, laying the bad number. I mean, the sharp guys were taking Kansas at like +2, +3, and then we saw people laying -2 the next day. Now, they all should have lost, right? Kansas banked in a three at the buzzer, Kansas banked in a three at the buzzer to lose by 2. Everybody should have lost. But the people that got the number in early won or pushed their bets. But I would just be careful. Be careful tailing anybody in any sport if you don't get their number.
There you go.
Bad idea, sir.
College football, let's get some more, sharp square, especially the sharp play. Is anyone interested in Maryland +43.5 against Ohio State?
Actually, a guy that I respect laid the other side. He laid 42 with the Buckeyes, and we moved up to 43.5 here at the Superbook. So it's a lot of points to lay, but Ohio State's been just killing people. This could be a potential look-ahead spot, though, for the Buckeyes. They got a big matchup with Rutgers on deck.
Yes, I think that's dripping with sarcasm. Minnesota, are they being disrespected here, or is this number about right? They're just overrated. They're getting 6.5 at home against Penn State.
Yeah, I don't know that they're overrated. They just really haven't played anybody yet. I mean, we opened this game 7 on Sunday. We saw some money come in on the Gophers +7. Everybody's betting Penn State, I'll tell you that much. We've got a very one-sided ticket count on the Nittany Lions. We're going to need Minnesota on Saturday. Penn State's played to a really high power rating number all season.
NFL, how are we handling the Kansas City quarterback situation? And again, you got a super contest situation. You got to put out a number on Wednesday. So what's the story?
Yeah, we'd made the numbers before. So Mahomes is in, but we had already made our numbers. We made it 3.5. It was a number shaded to expecting Mahomes to play, but not going too crazy with it because we weren't sure he was going to play. And now we have a number on the board of Kansas City -5.5. So I'm sure that Kansas City will be a very popular pick in the Super Contest this week. It's good to have Mahomes back, though. I think he's the best player in the league, and he's really the only guy in the NFL I actually enjoy watching.
There you go. You're a glass overflowing guy when it comes to the NFL. We know that, John Murray.
Well, that game on Monday night was great.
It actually, the black hat? Come on!
I thought it was, Kevin Harlan's call was awesome. And I definitely laughed at Pat Shurmur just kept kicking field goals from like the 1 yard line, and then Dallas would go right down the field for a touchdown.
John,
so you're right. I did get some enjoyment out of that. Touche, Steve.
All four field goals. My favorite stat from that game. All four field goals, less than 30 yards for Shurmur and the Giants.
My favorite play though, Johnny, was when the last play of the game, the ref just throws a flag out, and then he just picks it up. I hope nobody noticed that. He just puts it away in his pocket.
What do you guys think should have happened on that final play that pushed it over?
I don't know what the penalty would have been. I mean, I guess it's a fumble and a return for a touchdown. It's just an incredibly lucky win if you had the over.
Yeah.
Thursday night football. Let's go through some more of these NFL games. Where are the people you respect playing? Oakland, Raiders at home, getting one against the Chargers.
The money's coming in on the Chargers, and I actually think this number is going to close even a little bit higher than this. The Chargers are finally getting healthy. And I think they should be favored by a little bit more than this, but not a full 3 points on the road. The Raiders really have exceeded my expectations in a big way. I give John Gruden a lot of credit. Very good coverage of that Raiders team locally, too.
Yes, Adam Hill's doing a pretty good job with the help of many at the RJ.
Yes, sir.
Where have the Sharps been all year on the Browns? And I wonder where they are now. The Browns are favored again. They're 3 at home against Buffalo.
Yeah, they bet them almost every week is the real answer to that. I know they bet them big time against New England 2 weeks ago. We saw sharp money on Cleveland -3 last week. That one lost. We had a very respected player come in here 2 days ago and laid Cleveland -2.5, and now we're at Cleveland -3. So this is something we've seen for years here. The sharp guys cannot get enough of those Cleveland Browns, and they're doing it again this week.
I also feel like the sharp guys are down with playing the tanking teams. Have you noticed that?
Which teams other than Miami do you consider tanking? Because I consider the other teams to just be that incompetent.
That's a good point. I want the Jets to tank. I want the Jets to tank. I don't know if they're tanking, but I'm curious on that one. Jets getting 2.5 against the Giants.
Nothing really in that pool. We open the game, pick them. We've just been sort of moving with the market. Now the Giants are -2.5. But there's nothing in there that I've seen as far as, like, this guy's a sharp, this guy's not. It's just the market's drifting up a little bit on the Giants.
What about that Dolphins-Colts game, John? Because your look-ahead line was 15, Indianapolis laying the points. And now you guys are, what, 10? Is that moving with the market or are those money wagers coming in?
It's two things. It's Miami looked frisky, let's be honest. The last few weeks they've looked frisky. And the other thing is Jacoby Brissett's not going to go for the Colts. They're going to go to Brian Hoyer. So there's a downgrade there for the Colts. I think the Colts are doing the right thing. I think they're doing the right thing holding Brissett out. They should be able to beat Miami anyway. So if they can give Brissett another week off, get him healthy, I think they've got a stretch of 3 divisional games starting next Sunday. So they're going to need Brissett to win those games. They should be able to beat the Dolphins without him.
Other game that I think is pretty interesting, Carolina-Green Bay. Right now, Packers sitting about a 5-point favorite. What do you make of this? Because your look headline for this was Green Bay -7, but they turned in the dud on the West Coast, and now they get to come back home.
I think Green Bay was exposed in a lot of ways on Sunday. I've been saying all year I think Green Bay is really overrated. They didn't look good at all on Sunday. They did have a big touchdown to cut it 26-9, and then they started celebrating in the end zone. So that was probably my second favorite NFL highlight of the weekend. But, you know, Carolina's a little bit underrated. They're coming off of a win over the Titans. I know they got crushed by the 49ers a few weeks ago, but they've been pretty impressive since Cam Newton went down, and I do think the Packers are a little bit overvalued.
You know, yesterday I was looking at your guys' adjusted MVP odds.
NFL?
Yeah, NFL. Okay. Aaron Rodgers 5-1. Like, he's had like 3 or 4 good games.
Yeah, but you know, the people are always betting on Aaron Rodgers. We're actually in pretty good shape on him, but I know what you mean, and he's such a big name. If he were to put together a few big games in some high profile spots, he would become the favorite again. But certainly right now you gotta look to a guy like Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson, Russell Wilson. I mean, Wilson's playing very well, but I really don't think Seattle's that good. But we'll see. It's actually a pretty wide-open race, which I think is kind of fun. And you never know. If Patrick Mahomes goes nuts down the stretch here, he could still get back into this
thing. He's 10-1.
We got him at 10-1 right now. We did miss 2 games, so that'll definitely hurt him. But it's never seemed to hurt Mike Trout. They give Mike Trout the American League MVP when he misses like 30 games. It's possible.
John, do you want to brag about your connections around town? Did I see you serving up a Popeye's chicken sandwich to one of your friends?
No, that was Jeff Sherman's wife, Christy Sherman. She showed up this afternoon, and I had just got back down here from a meeting, and she had a bag of Popeye's chicken sandwiches.
Oh, she brought it to you guys. I thought
No. She brought those to us. Jeff said he didn't even know she was bringing them in.
Wow.
Christy Sherman is a keeper.
What a wife.
She's great.
My God.
Oh, yeah. She's awesome.
I did notice in the thread, though, when you guys were talking about the chicken sandwich, some pansy was talking about the Popeye sandwich being too heavy as opposed to the light Chick-fil-A. Come on.
Who said that?
Some guy on Twitter.
You want to expose him?
I already went back and forth with him. I called him a millennial, and then he said he was 57, and I was like, I don't care.
I've actually been called a millennial in meetings, and I find it very offensive.
Well, there are a lot of lines there I could say about bosses, but I'm going to keep us both out of trouble, okay?
All right, I appreciate that.
Yeah. I do that sometimes. All right, John, hopefully we see you on Sunday morning. Adam Hill and myself will be on the Sunday morning football preview show at Superbook USA.
Adam Hill's going to be working? Okay. I mean, I'm surprised as you are, but that sounds great. I can't wait.
Could be a no-show. You never know. See you, John.
Thanks, guys.
By the way, JVT, you're off this week. You've done yeoman's work pitching in on the Westgate show. I appreciate it.
I mean, I hang out there, so
yeah,
it's just showing up like an hour earlier.
We got to mention one thing. You actually do you do a sneaky job of outing some of the new folks who are covering sports gambling. There was something weird the other day. So Jeff Schwartz, who played in the National Football League, he works for Action Network. He sends out a pick sheet. It was obviously before the NFL games, and he's got a list of games, and he's got Minnesota plus 2.5 going into the game last week against Kansas City.
There it is.
Where's that line?
Yeah,
that was not the line. They were favored by 5.5.
And somebody responded.
No, it doesn't matter, right? Yeah. It doesn't matter. It lost, right?
Uh-huh.
But imagine it. What did someone say to him?
So somebody pointed out to him, Minnesota 2.5, they were 5-point favorites. His response was, super contest line. I use those because the lines offshore are wild.
No, they're not wild. They're accurate.
Yeah.
The 2.5 is not a bettable number. It's one contest.
Yeah. Like I've said this before, man, it's a brand new space when it comes to this and, you know, how people are getting involved and, you know, is it sending out picks every single weekend, which seems to be the norm of what people want, or is it actually covering it like you cover a beat, like sports, or you know what I mean, like UNLV, and asking tough questions and covering all of it. It's such a new space, but people are so in love with giving out picks and trying to be right with these picks, and I think that's where we fall short. And that's just a massive error on his part, but you can't use contest lines. They're stale, they're inaccurate, that's not what you do. The offshore is wild because that's the market, and that's the market sorting itself out.
Visit Cofield's Corner on LVSportsNetwork.com.